never seems to be a moment of opportunity that we must always continue to pray for those that are facing eternity. Let us keep them their repose in our prayers today. And those are your headline news. Joining us right now via video chat is my good friend Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, the Dynamic Deacon, his website, deaconharold.com. Good morning to you, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Good morning, Joe. It's great to be with you as always.
Praise be to God, my friend. Very grateful for your time. Now, I got to see you, I don't know, a couple months ago, and man, you look great. You look really great. You and I have lost a lot of weight over the past year, and we took different routes to get there. Now, I'm down over 100 pounds now from a year ago now. What's your success? Are you willing to share the numbers?
Yeah, I've lost about 85 pounds since May of last year.
And how did you do that? What was your secret to getting down that far?
Well, yeah, it's not a secret. It's one of those things, Joe. You know, I've struggled with my weight most of my life. And during the pandemic, we switched insurance companies. And so we had to switch doctors. And I went to see the new physician. And back then, I was over 320 pounds. So, of course, we talked about my weight. And she said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I was doing keto, you know, I've done it twice before. I lost a bunch of weight and gained it all back, then lost a bunch of weight again and gained it all back during the pandemic when I was home and I couldn't travel. It was out of my rhythm, out of my routine. And quite frankly, I was using food as a coping mechanism for, you know, kind of not depression, but the sadness. And I was feeling, you know, kind of being trapped in the house and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not making excuses, but that's just the reality of it. And so she said, yeah, keto does work, you know, for people. She's not against it or anything. And she said, have you tried plant-based eating? And I looked at her and I said, plant-based? You know, she specifically didn't say vegan. or vegetarian, she said plant-based. And I said, well, no, I'm from New Jersey, and I grew up on burgers and steak and hamburgers and bratwurst. There's no way I could do anything like that. And she said, you know, here's the thing. You know, when you're doing keto, you know, it's great, but you cut out a lot of the carbs. And sometimes when you crave the carbs, you have a tendency to eat carbs and gain all the weight back again. She said, with the plant-based eating, she said, you know, you're not eating meat per se, but you're getting the protein from other sources like tofu and plants, things like that. So your body is not missing the protein like it does on keto when it misses carbs. And I said, are you trying to tell me the steak is the same thing as beans? And she laughed. And then she asked me what blood type I was. I said, A positive. I knew because I give blood regularly to Red Cross. And she goes, oh, this kind of eating is perfect for your blood type. I said, what? Because I've never heard about the connection between blood type and the food that you eat. So then she told me about a documentary on Netflix called Game Changers. She goes, you should watch that. I'm like, well, okay. So I did. I researched it and did all that. And I followed up with her on a video chat, which is what you do with doctors now. I guess sometimes you can't see them in real life. You can see them via video. And she goes, have you looked at it? I said, I looked at everything. He said, I'm willing to give it a shot. She goes, try it for a month. I said, I'm not going to last 3 days. She said, she goes, try it for a month. She goes, at first, your stomach is going to be like, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're probably going to feel sick and maybe nauseous. And as your body goes through the changes, your stomach enzymes get used to the new way of eating. But after that, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was May of last year. And I've been doing it ever since.
Praise be to God. Well, you look great. Yeah, I mean, you look great.
Thank you. You do too. I mean, last time I saw you, I said, Joe. You know, I mean, it's very noticeable. You know, you look fantastic yourself. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so I went carnivore. That was my thing. I've been on carnivore now just over 6 months, and we're down over 100 pounds. Praise be to God. But at my peak, you know, which was more than a year ago, but at my peak, I was over 400 pounds. So I've been a big boy for a long time. And I also struggled with weight most of my life. I had to lose weight just to go to Marine Corps boot camp. So I remember hustling hard to get that done. And in those days, we're talking late 80s, early 90s, you know, counting fat grams was the trend for weight loss. And so I remember I could only have 25 fat grams a day, you know, that kind of thing. And now, you know, I've only been eating meat with some rare exception to that rule for the last 6 months. And it's worked well, but I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm afraid that the first time I smell a carb, I'm going to gain 87 pounds back. So I'm not sure where this train ends. But one thing that it has struck me during the process of losing this weight, now I would love to say that when I started, hey, it was all about, you know, I need to get in shape and I need to be in peak physical form for my wife, for my kids, for my family. But the reality is that wasn't my motivation. It was more of, well, I've got inflammation issues. I've got, you know, some problems that I must deal with or else. And I think this has been a kind of a wake-up call for me personally. And I'd love to get your opinion on this because as men, it's a, you know, our physical, I mean, the physical state is true for men and women, but I think it's more so for men. You know, we're expected to be leaders, protectors, and providers, priest, prophet, and king in our home. And if we are out of shape, dealing and struggling with health issues as a result to being overweight, for instance, well, how can we fulfill that vocational role? What say you, Deacon Harold?
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. I mean, on page 2 of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it says that the Lord put the man in the garden to till and to keep it, right? And those words till and keep are abad and shamar in Hebrew. So abad means a work that's in the form of service, and shamar means to protect and defend. So literally, God put man in the garden, gave him his mission, his calling, his vocation, to serve, protect, and defend everything that is being entrusted to him. Right. And what was being entrusted to him first? His wife. Right. You know, on page 2 of the Bible, we had our mission and calling to serve, protect, and defend. Now, in order to do that effectively, you know, we have to be, in shape, physically, mentally, and spiritually, right? Body, mind, and soul. It's a holistic approach to our relationship with God. And if one of those things are out of sync, then we can't properly do what God has called each one of us to do as men, right? So you're absolutely right. And then you talk about priest, prophet, and king, right? So those are charisms that we receive in baptism, right? And so the priest, what's his main job? Is to offer sacrifice, right? To die. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how did he show his love for the church? He died for her. He gave his life for her, right? And we cannot do that effectively as men if we're not willing to die and to sacrifice those things that separate us from God's love, that prevent us from fully becoming the men who God created and calls each one of us to be. And, you know, for me, spiritually, things were fine. You know, I praying at the office every day, rosary, chaplet, you know, check. You know, mind wise, you know, you can see behind me, I got like tons of books, and I've written, you know, 5 books. My 6th book is coming out in the fall. I'm working already, the outline for my 7th book, you know, the mind thing, check. Well, the only thing I couldn't check off that list was the body, you know, physically. Yeah. And I make all kinds of excuses, you know, like I travel 250,000 miles a year. You know, I'm on the plane, you know, and I'm away from my family, sacrifice a lot. You know, I deserve that piece of cheesecake, you know, for dessert, you know, when they take me out to the restaurant, you know, I deserve this because of the sacrifices that I'm making. And those are just excuses, for not really disciplining myself. And what is discipline? The same root word as disciple. Right? Mm. To become a follower of Jesus Christ. So in order to follow Christ more effectively, I finally had to face my Goliath, you know, and which was the weight.
It's hard to do, isn't it? Because we emotionally eat, right? You eat to deal with stress, to deal with anxiety, or to just kind of decompress. And, you know, I've always wanted my food to entertain me, for crying out loud. You know, I want it to taste good. I want it to be good, rich in flavor. And it's hard to overcome that. I still kind of refuse to look at food as medicine, but it's probably the most healthy way to look at food is just, you know, medicine for the body. So you eat better food that does more for your body than just eating for emotional reasons. And that is the hardest trick to overcome. So, all right, in the first month that I did carnivore, man, it was a roadblock. I was angry and upset almost the entire month because I really didn't want to do it. What was it like for you in that first 30 days?
Yeah, same thing. You know, like I said, I've grown up on meat, you know, and it's like, how am I going to switch? I used to make fun of people who ate like this. You know, I said, you know, my food eats what you eat, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and so it was a big change for me, you know, and so again, that first month, so I said, okay, look, and I everything I'm telling you, you know, it's great in theory, but when you're actually trying to live it and put it into practice, that's a whole different thing. And so I said, once I got past like the first 3 or 4 days, and quite frankly, Joe, you know, in addition to the prayer piece, my wife was a huge part of it. But I hear the music, so I can tell the rest when we get back.
Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. DeaconHarold.com is his website. On the other side of the break, we'll continue this conversation about that difficulty, our support structure, why we ought to be doing this, but also how do we make Lent penitential, not just self-improvement. I think a lot of times we get ready for Lent, we are thinking about, oh, what could I do? I could exercise more. I could fast more. I could eat less or do whatever. Let's make sure our intentions are straight. More with that from Deacon Harold Burke Sivers coming up on A Catholic Take right after this very, very quick break. Don't go anywhere, but do share us with a friend. We'll be right back. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Welcome back to A Catholic Take, a bold synthesis of information and inspiration. I'm your host, Joe McClain. Good to be on with you. Coming up at the top of the hour, we say goodbye to the radio and we stay on the live video streams on Facebook, on YouTube, on Rumble, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. If you want to hang out and interact directly, we would love to chat with you personally. Just go find us there, A Catholic Take, Station of the Cross, or Joe McClain. To search for us on those platforms, I guarantee you're going to find us and chime in. We'd love to have you. Deborah Saints says, good subjects. I started carnivore last month. I won't lie. It's been tough to get rid of those carbs. Yay and amen, Deborah. I know all about it. Deacon Harold is our guest. DeaconHarold.com is his website. We're talking about losing weight, but also getting ready for Lent because Deacon, as we were saying just before the break, you know, it's important to be in shape. It's important that we get our life and act together, both spiritually, physically, mentally. All these categories are important. And Lent is one of those seasons where we're like, it's almost like a New Year's resolution. We start Lent, we're like, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to fast. I'm going to eat less or whatever. And those tend to be good ideas, but they're really just self-improvement, not necessarily penitential. So how do we do both? How do we get our act together, get disciplined, find a way through the difficulties of getting started, and yet keeping it penitential and less self-improvement? Deacon Harold, what do you say?
Yeah, you know, those are excellent points, Joe. And here's the thing that's interesting about Lent. How many fasting days do we actually have in Lent? Do you know, Joe?
40.
I mean, that's our big penitential season as Catholics, right? And how many fasting days do we have?
Well, you have to technically fast on Fridays every Lent. So that's a lot less than 40. But old school Catholics are going to add Wednesdays to that. And then I can't remember if there are any rogation days in the season of Lent either. So I don't know. How many? What are we talking? 10?
One.
No, you're going to say Ash Wednesday. Yeah. Well,
think about it. Fridays are abstinence days, not fasting days.
Me.
That means you can't eat meat on Fridays. True. Right? And some people say, well, there's two. Good Friday. Good Friday's not in Lent, right? Lent ends with the start of the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, right? So the only fasting day is Ash Wednesday. That's horrible. I mean, that's our big penitential season for our Muslim brothers and sisters, right? Ramadan, they fast every day. I mean, fast every day. So we got a lot of work to do. So why is fasting important? In fact, remember every Ash Wednesday, Joe, we hear the reading where Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. It was an expectation. Why? Why is fasting important? Has nothing to do with, you know, now, well, people are finding out now, right? They're doing the, you know, the fasting diets and things like that, or intermittent fasting and stuff. Well, Catholics knew about this for 2000 years, right? And even before that, right? In the Old Testament, you know, so what's the value of fasting? Because when you're fasting from food, for example, or you can even fast from other things as well, something that you enjoy, like your favorite television program or sports or something like that, that you become hungry, right? Your stomach is growling. You become hungry. You have some cravings. What does that remind you of? It reminds you that what you're really hungering for, what you're really craving, what you're really desiring is a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, right? That's why fasting has been practiced by monks ever since St. Anthony in the desert in the beginning, and you know, for thousands of years, monks have been fasting, and the church incorporates fasting, as you said, there are some ember days and things like that, but I think we could incorporate that more, not just into our penitential season as Catholics, but into our own very lives and even outside of Lent. For example, Joe, I fast every Friday for my family. Right. We talk about the parable of the talents. You know, how am I supposed to give God back, you know, tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold of the talents that he gave to me? And I find that fasting is one of the key ways to do that.
Yeah. In fact, Jake, our producer, was pointing out that the Ember Days during Lent are Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday after first Sunday of Lent. So in the old 62 Missal, you're going to find traditional Catholics are going to be fasting far frequently all throughout the season of Lent. But in the Novus Ordo Missal, it's been reduced to just Ash Wednesday. So, but the reality is, you know, that's a minimum standard. We're always welcome to do more, right? We can always increase and up the thing. I remember starting intermittent fasting a few years back when I basically only reduced myself to down to two meals. Now I only eat once a day and have been doing that for 6 months. And now, again, I would love to say it's because I have pure intentions, but the reality is I was trying to deal with some health concerns. But I think I've built it in now. So at night when I'm feeling the hunger pains, I think I've been doing exactly what you said, and that when I feel those pains, I remind myself of the suffering of Christ. I remind myself of why it's important for me to be in shape, to lose the weight, to get my health together so that I can be present to my wife and my children, which is my vocation. And I think that's the opportunity that we have this season of Lent. What would you recommend? Do you think people should increase? Do you think Catholics should try to increase their fasting on a daily or a weekly basis during the season of Lent, especially if they're not used to it? What would you recommend for them to get started?
Yeah, like when I grew up, Joe, with my mom is the Catholic in our family, Wednesdays and Fridays were fasting days, not just abstinence days. Those were fasting days. So I would recommend increasing the fasting. Again, fasting, not just abstinence, not eating meat, but fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays. Now, just like when you lose a sense, right? If someone goes blind or someone goes deaf, the other senses kind of pick up, right? They become heightened. And I think the same thing is true in the spiritual discipline as well. Because when you start fasting, right, that's the body, the mind and the soul kind of pick up the slack there. Right. So when you're fasting, you said, when you're hungry, I find, you know, I have I'm more into my prayer. I'm more mindful. My mind is sharper. You know, my heart is more focused on my prayer life. My prayer becomes deeper and more intense, you know, during those times. You said yourself, Joe, you focus on Christ crucified when you're having those hunger pains. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the other parts that the mind and the soul begin to pick up the slack from the fasting. And it all works together in a holistic approach to deepening our intimacy with God so that we can truly fulfill our mission and our calling and our vocation in life. You know, and we're talking about specifically men, but obviously this pertains to men and women as well.
I want to go back to something you were saying just before we went to break, and that was talking about your wife, your support structure. I couldn't have accomplished over 100 pounds in a year if it wasn't, and it was actually a lot less than a year when I first started. It was about late August, but nonetheless, I couldn't have done it without my wife and my family because, I mean, just think about just the practical side of it, let alone the spiritual and moral support that they offer. Like the need to have a separate diet, a separate menu, a separate, food plan than everybody else is on creates complications, extra costs, just a hassle that they have to help deal with in order to make it possible for me to have the kind of opportunity to stay focused and to stay disciplined. And then to do that on top of the fact that I complained for the first 30 days, probably every day because I was so miserable. What was that like for you?
Yeah. Fortunately for me, my wife's, so I'll do it with you. And most of our kids have already been vegetarians, which is not unusual in the Pacific Northwest. So as far as the support, she's like, I'll do it with you, And so we kind of did it together. She didn't have to, she still eats meat. But it was like, I'm with, the two of us become one, right? And the marriage vows that we took, therefore a man leaves father, mother, clings to his wife, the two become one. So we did it together and it's been wonderful. And our marriage has gotten better, Joe, as a result as well.
Praise be to God. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, so grateful that you were able to join us today and help us get ready for the Lent. And congratulations on your incredible weight loss. You look great, my brother. DeaconHarold.com is his website. God bless you, Deacon. Have a great day.
Thank you too, Joe. Great to see you.
All right, we're going to say goodbye to the radio. We're going to stay on for the after show. It's a half hour of interaction directly with you on one of our live